Well, here we are at Yahweh's Feast of Shavuot. Weeks, that is weeks in Hebrew. Or Pentecost, or Atzeret, the 50th Omer. So many names. Atzeret was interesting. Did you realize that in the Jewish Talmud, they only refer to this meeting as Atzeret? It means assembly. And there's one other place they refer to the Atzeret. It's the Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day, the last great day, the last great assembly, if you will. It's kind of an interesting situation. So many names we have, so many reasons for the feast. Seems as though we observe Shavuot to remember the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. And we keep Shavuot to celebrate the ketubah between Yahweh and the Jews. We also celebrate Pentecost to remember the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 10. Some believe that it to be the last day of the spring feasts. Let's see what Scripture has to say about this recurring event. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 through 21. Leviticus 23, 15 through 21. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought the sheave of the wave offering. There shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to Yahweh. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering, made of 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be of fine flour, baked with leaven as first fruits to Yahweh. Along with the bread, you shall present 7 1-year-old male lambs without defect, and a bull of the herd and two rams. They are to be a burnt offering to Yahweh, and their grain offering with their grain offering and their drink offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to Yahweh. You shall also offer one male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs 1 year old for a sacrifice of peace offering. The priest shall then wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering with 2 lambs before Yahweh, and they are to be Hodesh, they are to be holy to Yahweh for the priest. On this same day, you are to make a proclamation as well. You are to have a set-apart convocation, and you shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. It's kind of exciting. Well, we have a day with the conditions for sacrificing and offerings, and we are to observe a Sabbath, and we are to do this forever. But why are we doing this thing forever and going through all of these iterations? Let's see what else Scripture has to say about Shavuot. Let's look to Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 17. 3 times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month Abib, For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits, Shavuot, of your labors from what you sow in the fields. Also the feast of ingathering, tabernacles, or Sukkot, at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before Yahweh Elohim. Wow. It's pretty definite that we're supposed to keep repeating these things every year. But we're still not quite sure why. Let's look again to Exodus, only this time in chapter 34. Verses 18 through 24. It says, "You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month Abib, for in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. The first offspring from every womb belongs to me, and all your male livestock, the first offspring from cattle and sheep. You shall redeem... with a lamb, the first offspring from a donkey, and if you do not redeem it, you shall then break its neck. You shall redeem all the firstborn of your sons. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall work 6 days, but on the 7th day you shall rest, even during plowing time, and harvest you shall rest. You shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Yahweh Elohim of Israel. For I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up 3 times a year to appear before Yahweh your Elohim." Well, it looks like we have a requirement to gather for feasts 3 times a year, and they're associated with agricultural practices. Every spring, we're to wait for the barley harvest to begin, Chag HaMatzot, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then we count 50 days to the end of the grain harvest, Shavuot. Then we wait until the fall harvest at Sukkot. But why? Why do we have to keep observing these every single year? Well, you know, in an agricultural society, the harvest times are pretty important. These are times we get together and we talk with one another, compare notes, and perhaps identify the reasons that we are able to accomplish these tasks and actually raise a crop that would sustain our lives. So we are told to come together at these times so we don't forget. Yahweh knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows that if left to ourselves, we'll tend to do things our own way. We'll tend to forget. We'll tend to move away from those things of Yahweh. To that end, Yahweh commanded us to meet on a regular basis, once a week, and periodically throughout the year. But why? He knew we would forget him over time. We have to keep repeating these things, or we'll forget. We are, after all, rebellious people, that we would rather do things our way. He knew that. He knew that we would drift apart and fall into ways of our own doing. Remember, there were grumblings in the wilderness. And the people were not getting along very well. And that was just a short time at the beginning of the trek out of Egypt. So why these set times and dates? Why Shavuot? Why Sukkot? Why all of the feasts? Yahweh's people spent a long time without him. They were brought out of Egypt and told to worship their Elohim, whom they had a vague memory of at best. After all the miracles that they had seen, when Moshe went up the mountain, the people resorted to worshiping the calf. You see, the short time the people spent with their Creator was not long enough for them to get to know him again. So even though the events of the Exodus were remarkable, the people still felt in their comfort zone around a golden calf. Repetition of events and reminders of past occurrences tend to help people to remember. The annual feast days would be an excellent way to remind people who their Elohim is and what he has done for them. This is a pattern of becoming reacquainted with Yahweh. Getting to know someone or something is not an easy process. It can take a long time, with many repetitions. There's a lot of detail in getting to know someone. It reminds me of an occurrence years ago, when I was in graduate school. I took a class. It was a short summer class in ethnobotany. It's the study of plants and how they're related to people. And, what different cultures around the world use different plants for and how they were useful and how they were not useful. But I went to the class. Like I said, it was a short class. The first day of class, the instructor spent about 20 minutes in the classroom. And he says, okay, let's go to the woods. Well, this was a graduate class, so everybody should have been pretty well versed in botany. So we all went out to the woods. And we're walking around in the woods, and the instructor is pointing at plants. He's pointing at, do you know that tree? And someone would say, yeah, it's Quercus alba. You know, proud of themselves. You know, they know the Latin name. They said, oh, yeah. Or what is that flower over there? And they would sprout out their Latin name. And he spent 20 or 25 minutes just walking around, and people were starting to feel pretty good about themselves because they could just like that name those plants. The instructor stopped, and he says, come on around here. And he says, I know I'm asking you if you know these plants, and I know that you're feeling really good about knowing what to call them. You know what their names are. You know their common names. You know their Latin names. But he says, you don't really know these plants. He says, you don't know anything about what they can be useful for. You don't know anything about what other plants they grow in cooperation with, or what conditions they like, or how their reproductive cycle works. And he went on and on about how much we didn't know those plants. And he was absolutely right. Getting to know someone is much the same. We don't just get to know someone's name and all of a sudden we know who they are. We need to keep in contact. We need to keep in touch. We need to keep understanding who people are. We need to learn about each other. Daniel chapter 11, 32, verse 32 says, by smooth words he will turn to impiousness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their Elohim, will display strength and take action. Those who truly know Yahweh will defend his name and know what they're talking about. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, but now you have come to know your Elohim, or rather, to be known by your Elohim. How is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? Don't forget what we've learned. Don't forget all of these years that we've learned to know our Elohim, that we've learned about Yahweh. Don't forget him. And turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Starting with verse 10. Titus 1, verse 10. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know Elohim, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Be true to Yahweh by doing whatever it is that he tells us to do. Yahweh is looking to raise up a strong, obedient people that knows who he is. They that know his ways, those that know what it is that pleases their Elohim, those that know Yahweh well enough that they can rebuke others when they misrepresent Yahweh. Repetition of appointed times and days, reviewing and remembering who it is that is our Creator, just strengthens our faith in Elohim. In repetition and assembling, we learn to know Yahweh and love him. And we learn to know each other and love each other at the same time. If we're learning to know our Elohim in preparation for the world to come, if we're called out to worship Yahweh and teach the nations, then we will be able to learn how to deal with each other in this process. Why do we have these annual feast days? So we can learn to know our Elohim and learn to know our brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.